Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We're going to be starting a new series, Israel and Egypt. We're going to be talking about Israel's time in Egypt, and we're going to be in the first part of Egypt. And at this point, you know, Joseph and his brothers were down there. They have long gone. Their descendants are now living in the land of Egypt, and the time has passed to where, you know, they are passing the Pharaoh who was living, who had Joseph had gained favor with, has now passed, and he is dead, and there's a new king reigning. So we're going to start here in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. And a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it be in the event of war that they also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us, and go from the land.' So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labors. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses." So we're going to pause here for a moment. So as we're beginning our read in Exodus, it's talking about the sons of Israel and how they have become fruitful, how they have increased and multiplied, and they have become exceedingly mighty. They have multiplied to the point where the land of Egypt was being filled with the sons of Israel. Remember, when Joseph told his brothers and his dad to come to Egypt, it was 70 of them who had left the land of Canaan to come and live in Egypt during the famine for the purpose of, you know, preserving the family during the famine. And now they've gotten to the point to where these 70 have multiplied and increased so much that the Egyptians themselves have now become afraid of the sons of Israel. As we see here, this new king who arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph, sees the strength and how many of them that are there. And he chooses and says, "Let us put taskmasters over them. Let us begin to afflict them with hard labor," because he is afraid that they could join themselves with their enemy and take over his land, take over his kingdom. Now, that wasn't the purpose of Israel. You know, there was going to be the time when they were going to leave Egypt and go to the land that was promised unto them, and that was the land of Canaan. But during this process in Egypt, so they get there and everything is well. Joseph has favor with the Pharaoh, and they are given the choice of their land of where they wanted to settle with their cattle and with their herds. So they had much favor with Egypt. But now at this point, we see that they have lost the favor that they had, and now they're in a time where they are being afflicted. Now they're in a hard time. And we're going to see what happens when the pressure begins to be put upon Israel as Egypt begins to afflict them, because his idea and what Pharaoh is thinking, that if I afflict them and I begin to make life hard for them, then I will begin to tear down this people. But we go to verse 12 here. It says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. So the Egyptians brutally compelled the sons of Israel to slave labor, and they made their lives bitter with hard slave labor in mortar and bricks and in all kinds of slave labor in the field. All their slave labor, which they brutally compelled them to do." So Pharaoh's response to them having multiplied and increased so much was to give them hard labor and was to afflict them. But as he began to afflict them, the more Israel actually multiplied. So as the pressure came upon them, as they were going through affliction, they actually grew more in the time of the affliction than they did when things are going well for them in Egypt. And so he responds by trying to make life even harder for Israel. And that is by putting them under hard slave labor. And so that's our response. He continues to put the pressure on them. And life is the same way for us. We are going to go through affliction. We're going to go through hardships, and we're going to go through trials. And it is when we go through the hardships, it's when we go through the trials that we actually grow the most. When life is good and life is going well, we don't grow as much as when we are being afflicted, when we are being tested, when we are being tried, when we're going through the hard times. That is when we grow. The question for us is, how are we going to respond in the time of afflictions? Are we going to look and seek for that which is comfortable? Are we going to run from the affliction? Are we going to run from that which is uncomfortable? Are we going to run from that which is pushing us? Because it's during those trials, during those afflictions, that he is shaping us and refining us and molding us. It's during those times that we can see those things in our lives that we need to change, those things that are not bringing about the righteous outcomes, the things that bring fruitfulness into our lives, and the things that we need to cut off. Remember, you know, Yeshua is the vine dresser, and we are the vine. So when we're walking in relationship with him and we are in covenant with him, there are times in our relationship with him where he is going to begin to cut off the things in our lives that at one point in time may have bore fruit, but it wasn't bearing the fruit to the degree that it should. So he'll come in and he'll cut that off, so that it will bring more fruit. It will bring that which he desires for us to bring forth in our life. And we go through this pruning process, and this pruning process is a much alike the affliction that Israel went through. It's going to be through hardship. It's going to be through times where things are not so comfortable. And it's us being willing to step back and look at ourselves and examine ourselves and look in the mirror and to pray and ask him during our times of affliction. That's what we should do. We should search our hearts, search our souls, see how we are responding in the time of affliction, and see if it's lining up with how his word says to respond during that time period. Is there something in the way we respond? Is there something in what we believe at that moment that doesn't line up with his word? Is he trying to work something out in us? Is he trying to produce growth in us, trying to cause us to change from glory unto glory, more into the image of Yeshua? If life was a nice, easy walk every single day, if life was just full of blessings every single day, we would not grow. It is through the hardships and the pain that we grow. And you think about it when it comes to building muscle. In order to get stronger, you must first tear down the muscle in order to rebuild more. And it's the same with our walk. It's through the testing and the trials and the hardships that our faith grows. Our faith grows through the affliction, not through walking in nice, easy, peaceful, moments. Now, the thing is, we can find peace and we can be at peace in affliction as well. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Yeshua Messiah. So Peter here is telling us, he says, he has granted unto us precious and magnificent promises. His word is filled with magnificent promises that we can hold precious onto, blessings that are there for us to hold on to fully expect and see in our lives. And he talks about how we may come partakers of the divine nature, of his divine nature, of living in his peace, living in dwelling with him, his spirit living inside of us. God's spirit is inside of us, and we can partake of his divine nature. We can partake of his precious and magnificent promises that he has given unto us. Now, in order for us to receive and partake of this divine nature and of these precious and magnificent promises, he goes into a list of things. He says, now for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. So we are, if we wanting to partake of his divine nature, we need to be diligent in our faith toward moral excellence. So we need to have a diligence in our lives, okay, in our belief of what is moral, what he has outlined of what is righteous and what is not righteous, what is clean and what is bad, what is unclean, that which is good and that which is corrupt, that which is sinful, that which is bad. So as we apply this with diligence, that means we wake up and every day we are diligent. We are earnestly seeking that which is righteous. We are earnestly seeking that which is good. And of course, his word tells us, Paul tells us, that his law, his Torah, the instructions that he laid out for us is righteous. It is good. It is holy. It is set apart. So each and every day we wake up with a diligence to walk in his instructions in which he has given us. And as we aim and desire to do that with all diligence, we are able to become partakers of his divine nature. And in verse 6, he goes, and in your knowledge. So we need to have a knowledge of that which is righteous, a knowledge of his instructions. And so then, so having a knowledge and a diligence to walk in his righteousness, we are to walk in self-control. So we are controlling the desires of our flesh and denying desires of our flesh, and as Yeshua instructs us to do, to take up our cross daily. So daily we're dying to ourselves, we're dying to the desires of our flesh, and aligning ourselves up with his righteousness, with what he has called good, and exercising self-control and doing that which is good, and refraining from that which is bad, refraining from giving in to the passions of our flesh, the fleeting desires of our flesh, the fleeting emotions of our flesh, but yet seeking to control our thoughts and our minds to align with that which is good. And then the next thing he talks about is perseverance. So as you are diligently aiming to walk with him and you're gaining a knowledge of his ways and you're working on gaining self-control and exercising that self-control over the passions of your flesh, you're going to need perseverance, because as you're going through this journey, you're going to experience affliction. You're going to experience hardship. And when things get hard, you're going to need to persevere. And that's what Israel was being taught in Egypt. They were being taught to persevere. God knew that he was coming to the point that he was going to pull Israel out of Egypt and bring them back to the promised land. But on his journey and in this process, he begins to teach Israel some lessons. He begins to teach them some things. He begins to show them some things. We have a very good reason to believe that at this point, as we're reading in Exodus chapter 1, that the sons of Israel at this moment living in Egypt have become like the Egyptians, and that they are not worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That they have basically blended in and become like Egypt. So now he begins the process of showing his character and who he is to Israel. And in this process, he starts it off by turning up the fire upon the sons of Israel. He starts it off by bringing affliction into their lives. He begins to make the situation of Egypt not so comfortable anymore. And he will do the same with us when it's time for us to move. He will make the situation uncomfortable. He will make it difficult. He'll bring in the affliction in order for us to begin to have a desire to move away from where we are. That is what happens when we become stagnant, when we become comfortable with where we are and not seeking to move further on in the process of being changed into the image of Yeshua. So he makes things uncomfortable for Israel. And in this process, we're going to see as we go through this journey, he is going to begin to teach them some things about his character, about how he hears their voice and how he is their deliverer. Okay. Let's go to James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So this is James speaking. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres under the trial. So as we are under and facing the afflictions and the trials, we want to be as Israel was in Egypt. The trial that as we are persevering under it, we're not moving backwards during the trial, but actually we're growing more during that time period. And sometimes it may not feel like we are, but we are progressing, moving, and growing at a much more rapid pace than when things are comfortable and we are at ease. And so to the person who perseveres, who lasts through the trial, who lasts through the affliction, That person is blessed. That person is happy. So the one who doesn't quit during the trial, the one who doesn't say, I've had enough and I'm going back to what is comfortable. Because under the trial, as James said here, for once he has been approved. So the trial is there to prove us. It shows what is inside of us. It shows what is the desire of our hearts. It shows where we desire to be. It shows what we long for. So if we desire to be like him, as we face the trials, as we are going through the afflictions and the hardship, and as he is molding us and shaping us, we will persevere through the trial because we understand and know what is happening. And as we come out, we are approved because we have proven that we love him and desire him, number one. But the second thing is, through that trial, through that persevering, he has changed us and molded us and make us like him. So he has made us to be that which can be approved. And to that person will receive the crown of life. So as we face trial, as we face affliction, we put our hope and our expectation upon that which is to come, to those who persevere, to those who hang on, who grow and take the lessons that are being taught unto us and be changed into the image of Yeshua, to that person will receive the crown of life. And that is the ultimate reward that we are looking for and going after. And no are promised to those who love him. Now remember, his scripture tells us that if we love him, we will obey his command. So the whole trials, the whole afflictions is him testing us to see if we will love him, if we will obey him, and he's also teaching us obedience. And he is trimming off and pruning away the things in our lives that we are not currently being obedient to his word in. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result and praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. So here, Peter is saying and talking about the trials that we have gone through. He says, greatly rejoice that you have been grieved by various trials. So you went through trials that grieved you at the moment in time as you were going through it, the affliction that you were going through. You felt grieved at that moment, but rejoice that you went through it. Rejoice that you persevered through it. He says, so that your proof of your faith, it is the proof of your faith. It proves that you have faith in him. It proves that you have a desire to walk in covenant with him. You have a desire to be like him. He says, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, tested by fire. So when we are going through the trials, it is pretty much us going through the refiner's fire. When you take a gold ring and you place it in a refiner's fire, it separates the gold from the dross, that which is not gold, that which is not valuable. It separates the two. And that is the point of his testing. That is the point of his refiner's fire, is he is separating us, that which is valuable from that which is not valuable. And so he puts us through these times of affliction so that we can be refined, so he can pull out of us that which is of value and that which does not have value. And as we learn to go through these trials, as we learn to go through the process of his refiner's fire, of allowing him to separate these things in our lives, allowing him to bring out that which is of value, the more we can become like him, the more our faith is proved to be more precious than gold. So as Israel multiplied and grew stronger and became stronger during the afflictions of the Egyptians, when we approach our trials and our afflictions with the right heart and the right attitude, with an attitude to persevere and to be refined by his fire, we grow even more. We become stronger. And it's even the same way with the enemy. The enemy was attacking Israel. He was afraid of Israel and was trying to bring them down through affliction, but they just became stronger. We have an enemy who is afraid of us, who wants to bring us down, who tries to drag us down, and he will bring things against us in order to try to weaken us like Egypt tried to weaken Israel. And it did not work for the Egyptians, and it will not work for our adversary either. The more affliction he brings unto us, when we respond in faith and expectation, and we call upon him, and we rely upon him, and we allow our faith to grow, we become stronger, and we become even more dangerous unto our enemy. Israel, as they've got stronger under the affliction, they just became more dangerous unto the Egyptians. God is with us. He was with them in Egypt, and he is with us. No matter what affliction, no matter what trial, no matter what hardship we're going through, he is with us. He is guiding us. He is strengthening us. And he is here to deliver us at the right moment in time. But during this process, he is working all things out for our good. And sometimes the things that he is working out in us, we don't quite understand it until it is done, until we have gotten to the other end, and then we look back and we see that was why I had to go through what I went through. So let's rejoice in the fact that he knows what he is doing and that he is guiding us. He is with us, no matter if we are in a time period of rest and peace where everything is going well, or whether or not we are in a time of affliction and hardship. Know that he is working in us and through us, and he is working out that which is good for us. So let's take hope. Let's keep persevering, because if we keep our faith, if we keep our perseverance, we will inherit the crown of life. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission,
all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.